Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And we're back. This is Podcast 843's guest, and we have something special. This is essentially what I'm thinking about, my wife's thinking about it, and maybe you are too. And it's called Poised, P-O-I-S-E-D, for Retirement, Moving from Anxiety to Zen by Louise Neyer. And let me give you that again, Poised for Retirement. This actually fits perfectly with the show because it gives you the power to take control of something that is major in your life. It's not about financial retirement or planning that. It's not about the specifics of health. It's actually about, well, I'll let Louise tell you what it's about. Louise, you were going through retirement or planning on it. And yes. Sounds like from my reading of this, you had a little demon.
Yeah, well, little demon called anxieties. And, you know, I've had anxieties on and off in my life, so it wasn't something totally new. But definitely with a huge life transition, like retirement, the demons got stronger, let's say. And so I wrote, really, to try and deal with these anxieties that came up. And as I was writing about specific anxieties, like, you know, one of them is fears of illness or even death. Am I going to make it to retirement? Am I going to have a chance at a new life? And then am I going to have any friends? Because a lot of my friends I saw at work. And also, what about not having my job identity anymore? So I started to break it down as I wrote it. And it's my story and also stories of other people. And a lot of it is really about just articulating and acknowledging the anxieties, because so many times we just jump into something and we don't realize what we're really feeling. So a lot of this is to say, you know, be patient with yourself. You are going to feel these things. And then, of course, there are ways to deal with them better.
And now, you also interviewed a number of people about this. So before we get into ways of dealing with this and how, because the story is how essentially you can overcome this demon called anxiety. But you interviewed a number of people. How common were the problems?
You know, some of the anxieties were common to everyone. Even though it's not a financial planning book, everybody has money anxiety. And people who I interviewed who had millions of dollars and people, I interviewed one woman who was going to be living on Social Security and a part-time caregiver for somebody with Alzheimer's. She had money anxiety. So, you know, you can do a lot of planning and hopefully things will work out. But one of the aspects of the book is to be flexible. You know, maybe I just had some friends who moved to Mexico. Some people, like actually my husband and I, take in people at our home sometimes for extra money. So these anxieties come up, but I found that everybody I interviewed felt they had hit a wall. It was time for a new life, time to change. And that was true of everybody. And I know I felt, and my husband felt, if we had stayed a few more years to try and get, you know, more Social Security or a bigger pension, that's wonderful. But if you're really starting to feel so exhausted and anxious and stressed, it's important to listen to your body, because it's the only body you have. And one friend of mine said, you know, adding two or three more years becomes more poignant as we get older, because it's a decision sometimes between feeling healthy and, you know, having a few hundred more dollars a month. So there a lot of those questions come up.
And When you said it was pretty common, how many people did you interview, and was it everyone had this? In other words, it seems to me that this is probably much more common now than in the days when pensions were routine and when it was routine to stay with one employer your whole life.
Yeah, that's very true. Plus the 2008 recession, really, especially people who were very near retirement, it wiped out part of their retirement savings. Yeah, I definitely think the money anxiety is more prevalent, and that's why a lot of people are thinking about things like, you know, renting out a room in their house if they're able to, or moving to a cheaper place, or continuing to work part-time. And for some people, the continuing to work was a really good thing, maybe going in one day a week to their workplace. And then some people just left their jobs completely. There was a person I interviewed who actually had enough money. He was very lucky. And he left his job because he felt he hadn't spent any time with his daughter. He left early, but he really wanted to be around for her. He'd been traveling all the time. So there were really a million different stories. I interviewed over 20 people, so not a huge group, but it was a cross-section. Some people who retired with a lot of money and some people who didn't. But I'd say one of the main points was to feel like your life had and has meaning, and to continue to do something that's meaningful.
So as I listened to you and as I read through the book, it seemed, and by the way, you're listening to You, the Owner's Manual podcast. We're talking to Louise Nayer, N-A-Y-E-R, author of Poised for Retirement, Moving from Anxiety to Zen. As I look at it, there's several, if you will, anxieties, one of which is that you'd lose your social status. And I some of that is coupled with you'd lose some of your friends who are from work. You'd lose your purpose in life. You wouldn't have enough money to, I guess it was, the thing was, thinking about retiring the monitor at the Social Security home when that first page, or the first page of the book we have, thinking about recovering with a screen with beautiful photos of a beautiful lake and trees underneath. So there's anxiety about friendship, there's anxiety about purpose, there's anxiety about social status, there's anxiety about, one of the things I worry about is I'd go nuts, meaning I love what I do and I would miss it terribly not getting to do it. Are there other things, and how do we overcome each of these?
Well, you know, what I say about the book is that it's really about emotional planning. And in other words, for instance, let's say you're a very shy person and you love being surrounded by your work colleagues and you have friends at work, and then you leave, and perhaps you live alone too, and you don't have social interaction, that it's important before you retire to think about that. And if you are very shy, really to force yourself to reach out, to explore, for instance, book clubs or a hiking club. And some of it can feel a little bit like being a middle schooler again. You know, am I popular? Will they like me? You know, when you're moving into a new social group. But it's good to have some of that in place. For instance, I knew that I was lucky because I knew that I wanted to write. And I thought it would be really easy when I joined the San Francisco Writer's Grotto, which I did before I left my job. But I remember one day in the lunchroom just looking around and thinking, these aren't my friends. These aren't the people I've known for 30 years. And it felt very disorienting. And then I had to say, you know, but I'm here. I can try and make lunch dates with my old friends, which is a good thing to do again before you retire, so you have things in place. And then over time, things change, and now I have new friends. But part of the whole thing, you know, with any kind of anxiety is to be patient with yourself, too, and realize not everything's going to fall into place necessarily immediately. But doing some planning is good. I have a friend whose daughter had twins, and she made a huge move with her husband, left California and moved up to Oregon. And it was hard to do it, but now it's great. And that really gives her life meaning and purpose. And she had been a Montessori teacher, so she can just use her lesson plans with her grandkids. So, you know, people find different ways. But, yeah, you don't want to sit around, obviously, like watching TV all day or eating all day. And so it's important to think also what makes you in particular happy. So that's part of the book, and also how to leave well. I think for a lot of us, it's hard to say goodbye to people. And so some of the suggestions are setting up some lunch dates before you leave with people who you care about and letting them know that you really have cared about them. They might not be at an end-of-the-year party, and so, or taking little photos with people so you can have something to remember people by, because it does feel strange to suddenly not have all these chats every day with people you've seen for 30 years.
Now, so some of the ideas are clubs. And you stress the importance of friendships, obviously, even more than family. You also stress the idea of, I suppose, those lunch dates beforehand so you can set up some things to do later. Is there, what do you do about, did you do, and how many people do, what you'd call in-depth financial planning? That is, a year or two beforehand, you go and you meet with someone and you make sure that you're going to have what you think you're going to have.
Yeah, that's the important thing. You know, I think most people I interviewed did financial planning. I know for me, I was lucky to get a pension, although I had been an adjunct, meaning a part-time community college instructor for many years. So I lost a lot of pension time. So I remember making obsessive calls saying, well, how about when I was pregnant? You know, it's a new law now that you can get some money for disability. But, you know, it wasn't back then. So I would make all these calls and calculations. And that is very important. It's important to know what you have and also to know that life always ends up being more expensive than you thought it would be. So if you can plan for, you know, savings and all that. And by the way, when you said friendship more than family, I don't really feel that. I mean, family is so crucial and so important. And people are fortunate if they have family around them and you can spend more time with family. But there have been articles saying that having friendships when you're older is really significant as well.
And now, you went to the, you specifically, and part of the book is your story, in addition to interviewing others, but is the story of this anxiety and defeating it. But part of it is you formed new friendships at this, what I would call Writer's Guild. I may be wrong, whatever that San Francisco group is that you meet with.
Yeah, the San Francisco Writer's Grotto. I did form new friendships. And they don't replace the old friendships. And I still, as a matter of fact, I'm doing an event tonight for my book, and so many of my friends from City College are coming to the event. And so I've kept up with people who were really important to me. And it's just, I guess one of the important things is that before you retire, when these fears come up, it's good to say, well, you know, I'm the kind of person who really likes to be social. I like to see people. So then you can say, okay, during my week, I want to set up times where I'm really with people. And, you know, certain things are very isolating, like writing can be very isolating. But say, well, that's the kind of person I am. And in terms of losing your job identity, I mean, some people are thrilled to lose their job identity because they didn't necessarily like their jobs. And, you know, now they feel free and liberated. But there is a comfort in going to the same place every day and having your desk and your workspace. So it's important also to think about, well, what would give me pleasure? You know, for instance, we just got a puppy, and I'm thinking of making her a therapy puppy. And you can go to colleges where...
Well, she already is a therapy puppy for you, right?
Yeah, Penny was, yeah.
As I remember, you dedicated the book to her.
I know, I know. She died in 2014, and, you know, it was, as everybody knows who has a beloved pet, it was really tough. But we actually got a new dog. And, you know, that's another thing that is very good for older people, too, to have a pet, to have that connection. But I thought, I could take her out and go to places and have her be a therapy dog. And that would give me pleasure. And one of the people I interviewed was headed a club. And he was director of a club and working a lot. And he's also a Vietnam veteran, and now he's delivering meals through the Veterans Organization to older people who can't get out. And that gives him a lot of pleasure because he was used to helping people. And it's been found that that kind of thing, like tutoring a child at a local elementary school, those are the things that often give our lives meaning, along with family and friends. And a lot of people spend more time with their grandchildren. I mean, my grandchildren happen to live on the East Coast, so it makes it more difficult. But and then there were a bunch of calming techniques that I used and that other people can use.
We should say, and that are in the book, called Poised for Retirement, Moving from Anxiety to Zen. So at the end of every chapter, you go through, and we should say this, a set of exercises or, I don't know, they're not, well, some of them are physical activities, but that you teach people how to calm yourself from the isolation fears and from other fears.
Yeah, and one of them, and certainly as a physician, you know, that breathing is very important, you know, and one of them that I learned to do was just every time you transition, like every time you go to another room or go to your car or go to the subway, you just breathe in to the count of four and breathe out to the count of eight. And even if you're not feeling anxious, it's a great thing to do. And I also was taught years ago when I was actually having panic attacks when I was very young, I was taught self-hypnosis. And some people might say, oh, well, that doesn't really work or, you know, it's not great. But there have actually been studies to show that your brain really changes. And I was taught a 3-minute one where you just imagine a beautiful place and then see a skywriter writing in clouds the number 100, and then it disappears, and then let's say go down to 98, you see 99 and in clouds disappearing, and then you give yourself a suggestion. So if you're afraid of feeling isolated, you might just say, I'm surrounded by loving family and friends, or I'm surrounded by wonderful friends. And you do that a few times a day, and it's amazing how giving yourself a suggestion like that can really, really help you move through a difficult period. So I did that too, and that helped enormously. And, you know, other people have done meditation or yoga or all kinds of things, because especially at a huge transition like this, it's so important to take care of your body, to eat well, to take walks, all those kinds of things.
Now, did you come across people who regretted retiring afterwards?
You know, I never came across anyone who regretted retiring, except at times for the money aspect, because sometimes people retired and then, you know, something happened, like, you know, suddenly they needed a new car and they didn't think that would happen for a few years, or, you know, the stock market went down, or, you know, if they had stocks. And sometimes, you know, people said, oh, if I'd stayed a few more years, it might have been easier. But I don't think anybody would have really gone back and stayed a few more years. You know, it was more just, I need more money than I thought I might have needed.
And they all were, at least as I read it in the book, they all were able to adapt to that.
Yeah, they were. You know, people, and that's the other thing to remember, that people are just so resilient and can be so flexible. And one thing I actually mention in the book is couples, or people who are in couples who retire, that's another emotional planning part, for people to sit down and say, well, this is what I imagine for my retirement. And the other person can say, well, this is what I imagine. You know, one person might want to move to Florida and, you know, live in a community where you swim and play golf, and another person might not want to live like that. So it's important to try and negotiate and have everybody be happy, because sometimes couples can have a lot of conflict during retirement.
We've been talking, and I really appreciate her coming on, Poised for Retirement author, moving from anxiety to Zen, Louise Nayer. You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, the passionate show that helps you take control and live at the top of your curve. And I suppose nothing could help you live at the top of your curve more if you're nearing retirement than not having anxiety about it. This book is a great, great read, wonderfully written, and hope you have a good night tonight presenting. And a lot of your friends from San Francisco, is it San Francisco City College, come and enjoy and in fact, purchase this book. It's a wonderful book. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back next week with the top medical news of the week and another great guest. In fact, I'll tell you that the guest next week, we're going to talk about, one is ischemic strokes, and the week after that is a special, special guest, but I'll surprise you with that one when it occurs. We'll be right back on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.